reason. Will you rise for a call to worship?
From Psalm 95, come, let us sing joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and exalt him with the music and song.
For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him.
The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, when darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And I will see how great is our God! Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God, and I will see how great is our God. Name above all names, worthy of our praise, my heart will sing. See how great is our God.
Well, good morning. To welcome you to worship with us here at Crossroads Fellowship, we do want to extend a special welcome to those that are visiting with us. We do have a water bottle out front for you with some information about our church, and we do also want to welcome our Liberia team back. So praise God for safe travels, and they're back with us this morning. Let me offer a word of prayer, then we'll receive our greeting from the Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day that you have made. I ask, Lord God, that our hearts would be open to receive that which is pleasing in your sight, that we would hear, Lord, your will for us, that we might walk in a way that is pleasing to you. We pray this in your name. Amen. From 2 Corinthians chapter 13, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's greet one another.
lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me, His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. Will be forever mine. You are forever.
We know when we are told that none of us is righteous on our own. There is no one righteous, not even one. No one who seeks God.
Jesus says to us, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
When you get to that point of recognition in your life, when you realize there is nothing you can do to work your way into heaven, that your sin is too great a burden for you to bear, it's then when you throw up your hands, bend your knees, and say, Lord, I need you.
Lord, I confess, bowing near, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Is found is where you are, Lord. I am free. Holiness is Christ in me, Lord. I need you, oh. Temptation comes my way. When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and save. Lord, I need you.
Seated. Our opening response comes from a combination of gospel writings. What is the good news that we have received? This is the good news that we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved, if we hold fast to it, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day, and that Peter, and then to the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus Christ is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He is our Lord and our God. Our call to confession is from Psalm 51, verse 17. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Will you bow your heads as I pray? Lord God, we come to you on this day and we confess our lack of trust in you. We sing because we need to sing to be reminded not only of the joy you take in us because of Christ, but of who we are as those who belong to you. Jesus, so often we forget that we have everything in you. We forget what you have done on our behalf of taking our sins to the cross, taking our shame, receiving the wrath of God in our place, and rising again. Lord, we forget. And we confess we look for meaning in our lives outside of you, above you, beyond you, in things that never promise and fulfill us in the ways that you do. Lord, forgive us for looking for meaning in idols. We thank you for gathering us on this Lord's Day, this day set apart to rest, to reflect upon what you have done and what you're doing and will do. Remind us, Lord, of who you are that we might know who we are in you. The assurance of pardon comes from Revelation chapter 5 and 9. Do not weep. See the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, he has triumphed. With his blood, he has purchased people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. He has made them to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God. And they will reign on the earth. Thanks be to God. The children at this time are invited to follow the flag, the children in worship. We continue our study in the book of James, this morning in James chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. If you're following along, which I hope you are, please open your Bibles to James chapter 1. I'm getting a little buzz here, I'm not sure why. Maybe it's my mic. So I was driving home recently, and so God's teaching me patience, right? I'm not Jesus, If you haven't figured that out yet, you will in a series of applications in years to come. And there were a couple of cars going really slow on the highway, probably like 35 or 45, I don't know, but it didn't matter, right? And I was getting a little impatient, and my exit was coming up, so I zoomed around them and went to the exit, right? And so it was one of those double-lane exits, and I pulled up to the lights, and the lady I went around pulled up next to me and just glared at me. She just gave me this look, you know, like clearly her desire was for me to be dead at that moment, right? You ever had that look? So in that moment, I'm like, what's my response, right? So it would be most easy just to wave and say hello and good morning, whatever. But I don't know what she went through, right? Maybe she had lost her job that day. Maybe she had an argument before work. I don't know, but it was disproportionate to passing to get on the exit ramp. But there was so much anger in her eyes. I mean, have you been there, right? Have you felt maybe what she was feeling in that moment? I mean, it could be from something as simple as referees calling calls you don't agree with. Even for sixth graders, we've seen it. You know, to joking at your expense that hurts deep, you're wounded. I mean, has anger ever just welled up in you? Those moments when wrath is stirred, right? Wrath that belongs to God. It stirs in you. You feel it. And you want to unleash it on the person that caused you pain. But oftentimes it comes out against those around you, not against the person who caused you pain, where it shouldn't come out anyway. Our passage of James this morning is addressing anger, right? Simply anger. In the context of all he's been talking about to the church of the dispersion, those that are under persecution, driven from homes, how to mature as Christians. And now he talks about anger, right? Seems like an odd topic. Seems so obvious. But we need to hear it as well, right? Let's hear what he says. James 1, 19 to 21. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. It doesn't. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Let me pray. God, as we consider anger this morning, we know that you are the loving God whose wrath burns against sin. You are the God who will judge every thought, word, and deed, and that is not us. We are not that God. We are not a God. You are the God of all things. You're the God who died on our behalf because of our sin. Let us trust you in those moments of anger and learn to deal with our own, we pray in your name. Amen. So imagine a man dreading coming home from work. The morning hadn't gone well. He remembers the arguing and the yelling very clearly. The kids were crying because of the commotion, and it ended with the slamming of doors. He drove off to work, upset with his spouse, thinking about the argument that had happened. He couldn't even remember the details on the drive, but he was just so upset. And on the drive, he was thinking of all the things he would say back to her when he got home, all the things he wished he had said in the moment of anger. I'm going to say this when I get back, but I'll put her in her place. Work didn't go well either. He got to work, and his clients couldn't figure out why he was being short with them. His coworkers weren't welcomed into his office. The door was closed. He just wanted to go home and finish what had started in the morning. But then something happened. Something popped in his mind. These words from James. James said, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And he said, no, God, that can't be right. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. And so in that moment, he decided, I'm going to do something different when I go home. I'm not going to give in to the impulses that I'm feeling. I'm going to go home and I'm just going to listen. I'm going to listen to what she says. I'm not going to defend myself. I'm not going to interrupt. I'm just going to listen. And as hard as it was, that's what he did. He walked into the door. Her back was to him, and there was silence until he said hello. And she turned around with tears in her eyes, frustrated from the day. They began to talk. He was listening, hearing her frustrations. And then there were apologies, and then there was peace. All too familiar story, right? It can take many different details. We know it. The adage is it takes two to tango, right? It takes two to argue, but really, oftentimes it just takes one to bring healing. James, in considering anger, wants to be clear here, I think, in one thing, in many things, but one thing in particular. Our anger isn't righteous anger, right? When we're angry, it's not that good kind. When we're upset with sin, when we're angry with the battle in sin that we fight and lose so often, our anger is just like 99% of the time just sin. It's just flat out sin. It doesn't bring about the righteous life. James is trying to make a mature church, and our unrighteous anger doesn't do that. It doesn't help us grow more like Jesus. Sin cuts us off from others. Sin cuts us off from growing into maturity. So Christians, all of us, are called to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. I want to break this passage down into three portions this morning. First, Christians must confront our sin of anger. Hear James' words again. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Now, James begins this section, verse 19. My brothers, take note of this. Interestingly enough, many commentators link verse 19 with verse 18. Now, remember, in the original texts, there weren't page breaks in the sense of verse numbers or paragraphs. And so this goes right along with verse 18 that came before it. Here, verse 16 to 18 again, so we get that smooth transition. Do not be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers, take note of this, right? Because that is true, take note of this. Feel James' logical flow of thought here. Because of who we are and God's work in us, it looks like something flowing out of us, right? There is that transition. Faith looks like something. And if it doesn't look like something in your life, you might not be saved, right? It looks like something. James has talked about our inclinations to sin, temptations that we face from our own sin, from the world, from Satan. He's talked about our testing from God, which makes us more mature. And when we're tested, temptation sneaking in there as well. And now James, from that key section of Scripture, takes us to our response to God, reminding us that everything good in this world is a gift from God, pointing us to the greatest gift that God has given, who's Jesus himself, right? Who reconciles us with God the Father, who has given us his Spirit, that we can walk in a way worthy of the calling we've been given, that we can fight sin, we can fight anger because of his Spirit in us. James is calling us to a response of our life right now in accordance with the good gifts that God has given to us. And he says, my brothers, take note of this. Take note of this. Take note of our fallen nature. Take note of God's salvation above the things we deal with and the world around us. There is a battle going on. We know that. And we can say it tongue in cheek. We know there's a spiritual battle raging out there and in here. This internal battle as well. The old man against the new, the flesh against the spirit. But we have the Spirit of God in us. This isn't just a moralistic passage. Get it done. That's not what James is saying. We're to be reminded who we are as believers so we can pursue the way we're supposed to walk with this internal battle. So who here ever gets angry? Don't raise your hand, right? Because then everyone raises their hand, right? Right. But are you an angry person? Is that your nature? Do you fly off the handle really quick? Do people have to be careful around you? I mean, we know people like that, but my question is, are we individually people like that? Or maybe it's more subtle. Maybe we're passive aggressive. Someone does something to you you don't like, you get back passively. Not obviously, but you get back at them. You don't threaten with harsh words, but you're a master at doing it under the table. It's the same thing, right? It's anger. Anger coming out in our personalities towards others. But one sign of Christian maturity is, how are we dealing with anger? How are we growing in this struggle that we all face? There are things that frustrate and anger us. But again, 99% of the time, our anger is not righteous. It is sin. And how we deal with it shows how God is dealing in us. I mentioned this before, so I grew up in a really large, extended family with lots of unresolved hurt. And without going into too many details, I thought everything was normal till about junior high because I didn't know any different. You know, and my family was able, my immediate family, to break away from those patterns of anger. We had a house of joy and peace. But the gatherings of Thanksgiving and Christmas would roll around, and all our relatives would gather together in one house, usually our house. We'd host the Christmas Eve parties, just packed with aunts and uncles and cousins. And always there were people in the corner glaring at somebody else or yelling, right? I'm like, it's just the way it is, right? Every family's like that, right? And as Christmas and Thanksgivings went on year after year, the gatherings got smaller and smaller. Some wouldn't show up because they didn't want to be in the same room with whoever they were upset with. Maybe a couple years later, they would show up again and leave early, whatever. But year after year, it kept getting smaller and smaller because of the unresolved anger, right? And it goes back generations. I mean, I could pin this thing down to the way my grandfather was treated, but it was in the system, right? Just anger, not knowing how to resolve conflict, playing out year after year. Some of you know what I'm talking about. James this morning calls us individually to face our anger. Last week we talked about how we can face difficulty, how we can face sin, how we can face tragedy in light of what happened in Florida, that we can turn and face it because Christ has faced these things on our behalf. The same is true with anger. We have to confront it in our life. We have to take responsibility for that sin that we can deal with it. That brings me to my next thought this morning. Christians must deal with their sin of unholy, ungodly anger. First, we have to confront it, and now James calls us to deal with it. Listen to his words again. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. That's what we want, right? We want the righteous life. We want to walk in maturity. We want to grow as Christians, and anger doesn't allow us to do that if we're living there. So James says in verse 21, therefore, get rid of all moral filth. Get rid of it. You have a duty to do. Get rid of it, right? This Christian life isn't just sitting in a passenger seat going for a ride to heaven. We are called to duty. We are called to responsibility. Get rid of all moral filth and all the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. James is calling the church to action, right? We have a responsibility. We have a duty. Our faith looks like something. It looks like a lot of things, but here it looks like getting rid of moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent and humbly accepting the word planted in us. We're going to get to that shortly. Let me ask again, where does anger come from? Well, we know it comes from unresolved issues, pains, hurts, outbursts of anger coming from not knowing how to resolve situations. But ultimately, where it comes from for believers is not knowing what Christ has done on our behalf and what he's doing in us, not agreeing with it and walking with him. I mean, we get angry really for, you know, we want to defend ourselves. We want to defend what we think is wrong of what people have said or done. And we forget that Christ has defended us on our behalf, both over our sin and over our accusations. He's done justice at the cross, and he will come and judge every thought, word, and deed. You know, when you're angry and you want to defend yourself, as Christians, I have to ask myself, what is there to defend, really, right? I have nothing to prove in and of myself. I want to point people to Christ, not to how good or righteous I am. I want to point people to Jesus. Who do I think I am, right? There's many reasons we sin in the sin of anger. Maybe we sin because we see ourselves as being too important, right? We think too highly of ourselves. Don't you know who I am? Don't you know I'm the pastor of Crossroads? You can't say that to me, right?
What in the world? We just think too highly of ourselves. Which means then we think too low of Jesus. But the opposite might be true as well. We might think too low of ourselves, right? I've not been accepted. I've not been loved. I've always felt this way, and I'm upset about it, right? We miss what Christ has done in our life. When we see Jesus and what he's done in our life and is doing, we will respond to people better. The word tolerance is thrown around. I mean, for me, it's one of those red flag words. When I hear the word tolerance, I'm like, oh, tolerance at the expense of truth or compromising, you know? But there is that sense. I mean, let me just break it down. We live in a culture where we can't even have a conversation, right? I mean, things have just deteriorated to the point that we can't talk to another person. We don't think what they have to say is of any value. We don't want to listen. We just want to defend our position. I mean, we live in the Facebook culture of quick response. That's how we deal with each other. That's not what God has called us to. I have a friend who pastors in L.A., and he made this great quote one time. He said, Christians have to be dogmatic about what they believe. We have to be dogmatic of what we believe coming from God's word, right? But with open arms. How do we be dogmatic about what we believe with open arms? We can only do that when we see individuals as being created in the image of God, worthy of respect. It's not a call to compromise your theological positions. It's a call to present Christ to others while being dogmatic about what you believe. That's not where we're living, and we can't talk to each other in our culture. And it's so interesting when James calls us to listen. Right? That's the exact thing we are not good at in this culture. But if you listen to somebody, you might be shocked at what you hear. You might be shocked at what you don't know and have yet to learn. And you might be shocked at how the relationship goes when you're quick to listen and slow to become angry. I mean, just try it. We're not primed for that in our culture. And we have to be reminded of this, right? Because we don't do it well. James says in verse 24, man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. It doesn't. And if we want that, be quick to listen instead of becoming angry. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So what causes anger in us? I mean, lots of things do. I mean, we have professional counselors in here. They can fill that section in way better than I can. But I can fill in James' words here. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. This is what helps us walk along the path of maturity, of becoming more Christ-like as we agree with the Spirit in us, dealing with those around us. Think of different applications here. I mean, letters are an obvious, dangerous tool. Some things we learn the hard way. Just kind of thinking through applications in the sermon, I remember one time being just offended with somebody, learning things the hard way, learning things in failure. And so I'm like, I'm just going to write them a letter. I'm just going to write them a letter and tell them all the things I'm upset about, and I'm going to send it to them. It'll take care of it. They'll change their ways. They'll become a better person, and I'll be justified, right? And that's not how it played out. Letters are terribly dangerous. And I think even email is even more dangerous. I remember hearing advice from one of our professors in seminary, and he said, when you're angry with somebody, here's what you do. You go home and you write that letter. Put everything in the letter you're upset about. Lay it all out as clear as you can in that letter. Let them know what you're thinking, and then put that letter in the drawer for the night. You'll be surprised when you wake up how you will reevaluate what you wrote and what you want to say. So take the letter out, rewrite it. Rewrite the letter in the new form in that morning, that morning's offer to us. Rewrite it. It'll sound better. It'll feel better. And then he said, do this. Throw it away. And go talk to the person, right? Our response in anger doesn't give us the life that God desires in us if we're responding to people in anger. James says, be slow to speak. Anger does not produce slowness of speaking. We want to be heard now. We want to be understood now. So we confront our anger. We deal with our anger. And that brings me to my third thought here this morning. Christians must walk in Christ's way by his Spirit in us. I wasn't quite sure how to word that, but really if we're confronting it, if we're dealing with it, We can only do this if we're walking in a way worthy of the calling that God has given to us. So I feel like I need to make one thing clear in this point here. What is our motivation for pursuing the life that God has called us to live in? Why do we do this? Now James makes it clear, it's pursuing maturity, that's what he says, but there's more that he will say. He'll talk about good works in relation to our faith. But why do we pursue living as God has called us to live? Some might say, well, we want God to be happy with us. We want him to like us, and that's the wrong answer, because if we're in Christ, he already does, right? We have the full benefits of his relationship with Jesus. He loves you if you're in Christ, so that one's thrown out. Or someone else might say, I want to get to heaven in the end. I want my good deeds to outweigh my bad. And that's also not the answer. Every other religion in the world says that, but we say Christ's good deeds have outweighed our bad, not our own. Christ is our way to salvation. My youngest daughter, Evangeline, the other day, asked a question that I think a lot of us ask. And she asked the question, can we move away from God? Because I worry about that. So come up here once, Evangeline. I want to give you the answer I gave to her, and I may have said this before. So I said, let me show you. Can we move away from God, right? And so I said, take my hand. I represent God. I said, now you're dealing with sin and anger in your life. Let go of my hand, okay? All right, then you get back on the path of following God. Grab my hand. Okay, then you're dealing with anger and sin. Let go of my hand. Okay, then you get back on the path of following God. Hold my hand. I mean, what thing hasn't changed here? I haven't let go of her, right? God doesn't let go of us. We let go of him repeatedly in our life. He doesn't let go of us. We have to be reminded of that. And it's kind of funny, in this conversation, my less agreeable daughter grabbed my other hand and said, well, if you're God and we have to go to bed, let go of us now. Right? The point still stands. We're called to stay in the path with God, the God who doesn't let go of us, the God who holds on to us, right? We have to know this so we can battle sin. When we fail, God hasn't left us. He's still holding us, and he calls us again to grab his hand, to fight the good fight. Understand who you are in Christ, standing forgiven, that you might walk in his ways. Understand the calling that he's given to you in Christ. Understand who he declares you to be, that this life, we're living into the reality of who we are through Christ. We have to grasp continually and be reminded day after day of what Jesus has done. I've said this before, my job is not that complicated, right? So we're working our ways through different books. But week after week, all I'm doing is reminding you of who Jesus is and who we are in him. Gospel, 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 gospel. Because we have to be reminded. We so easily forget. God chose to give us birth, James says. Look at verse 18 again. Who are we? He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. This is who you are. James says, this is who you are, therefore this is what we do, right? I mean, consider this. God gave us new life through his word. He planted that seed of faith in us, and it's sprouting into something in this life as it grows. In the spring, I plan to put garden boxes in our backyard. I mean, maybe some of you do that, those little wooden garden boxes. I'll fill it with soil. Then I'll have my kids come out, and we're going to plant seeds in that soil. Not only to grow stuff, it's also for teaching things. I want to teach my kids of what God does in our life, right? So we'll put that seed in the soil, and I'll say, this is what God has done when he planted the seed of faith in us, when he gave us faith. He planted that seed in us by his word of truth. By his word, when we heard the gospel, we believe that was God's seed he put in us, and that seed is going to grow into something, right? So maybe I'll ask the question, say we plant a sunflower seed. What is this seed going to grow into? An apple tree? No? Well, how about that flower seed? Will that grow into a potato? No. No, each seed is going to grow into its designated form, into what it is, right? What has God planted in us is the question. James says he chose to give us birth through the word of truth. that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created in this new life by his word of truth that's growing in us. His spirit's work in us is going to grow into something. It is growing into something, right? We're all at various levels of growth. We're all not at the same place, but we're all growing to that same place, to that fruit that God intends in us. And as those seeds will grow, I mean, we have a duty to do really with our garden boxes, right? We'll have weeds that'll come up. We'll pull the weeds. We'll have to water it. With a seed of faith, of new life that God has given to us, we have a duty as well. Listen to his words again in verse 21. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth. Pull the weeds. Pull them out. Get rid of that moral filth and the evil that's so prevalent, and humbly accept the word of God that's planted in you. Water it. Water it, right? Pursue God's ways. Pursue these good deeds that he's called you to walk in, that he's given you to walk in by the faith that he's given you of his free grace. He's planted his seed in you. And we have some work to do now, right? We have a duty in this Christian life. Ultimately, a duty that does please the Lord and benefits us as we grow into Christian maturity. And James says what that is here is dealing with our anger, right? We deal with our anger by pulling the weeds of moral filth, by accepting the word of God that he's planted in us. We have to care for the crop, the fruit that God is growing in us. So what happens when we agree with the faith in us that God has planted in us as we seek to put away sin? Or specifically, as James says here, what happens when we agree with the Spirit's work in us, getting rid of moral filth in our life and the evil that's so prevalent in the world and accepting the word of God that he's planted in us? What happens, right? I want to answer that with Peter's word. 2 Peter 1, verse 10, Peter says this. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. We know that God won't let go of us. We are assured of our salvation. Or we're guaranteed of our salvation. The perseverance of the saints. It's the assurance we fight for, right? We lose assurance when we're not walking with God. God doesn't let go of us, but we wonder if we belong to him or not when we're not walking with him. So we got to grab his hand again. We fight for assurance. Christian maturity looks like I am assured that I belong to God as I walk in his ways. Let me wrap this up here. A number of years back, as I think of what God is doing in me and how that looks like things in life, I had a little problem in our yard. So I built this nice patio at our last house, and I put up this nice trellis as an anniversary gift to my wife, and we had garden boxes there as well. The lawn looked nice. It looked especially nice, you know, right after spring when the flowers were hanging from the trellis. It was so pretty. And then I looked down at the yard, and there were these little furry clovers that began to spread from one of my flower boxes. No big deal. They look kind of cool, right? But then the next year, they were further. And the next year, they took over half the yard. I'm like, what is going on? I'm a pastor. I don't know how to deal with this, right? My neighbor came over and said, that's creeping Charlie. Well, who's Charlie? I didn't invite him over. What did he plant in my yard, right? Doing some research online, I read one guy, he wrote this. He said, I have been fighting the standoff with creeping Charlie for 5 years. And I need a recommendation to kill it off for good, because it's messing up my lawn, right? I'm like, that's the Christian battle, right? I've been fighting it for 5 years, for 10 years, for 15 years, and we want it gone for good, right? That day is coming when it's gone for good, when creeping Charlie in our life is no more, when ungodly anger is no more. The day is coming. It's not now, right? The day is coming, but more and more we see that day coming, but we're called to the battle, right? We're called to the battle every day. Because creeping Charlie is like our battle with sin. If we don't engage it in battle, it takes over the whole yard. If we don't fight the flesh, the world, in the sense of fighting against what Christ is doing in us, if we're not fighting against sin, it will creep and grow. Year after year, we engage in this battle. I hope you're engaged in it, right? What I want you to see in these words of James is who you are in Christ and what we're called to in living out that faith. And it looks like a battle, and here it looks like a battle against the sin of unrighteous anger. So as much as I wanted Creeping Charlie off my lawn, so much more I want remaining sin in my life done away with. I do. I want it done away with once and for all, and I hope you do too. So year after year, we fight. We apply the word of God. We trust what God has said and what he's planted in us. We cooperate with the Spirit, and we watch Creeping Charlie retreat until the day it's done and gone forever. Let me read James' words one more time, and then I'm going to close in prayer. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word of God, the word planted in you, which can save you. Let me pray. God, I thank you for James. I thank you for the words that he wrote to this church under great conflict, under great adversity, driven from homes and jobs and family, and that James would even deal with anger. I thank you for these words. While not written to us, are for us. They apply to us. And I pray for anyone here this morning who's dealing with anger from unresolved hurts or pains in their past, that they would confront it and that they would deal with it in gospel ways. For those that have been hurt by the anger of others, that we would offer the forgiveness of Christ, that we would even respond to those around us in the way that you've responded to us, Jesus. Help us to be about this business of pursuing maturity. We pray this in your name. Amen. Our offering this morning is going to be our benevolence offering. As the offering is taken, our friendship folders are going to be passed. If you're visiting with us, please put your information in our friendship folders so we can contact you this week.
As is our tradition here, one of the elders prays our congregational prayer once every month, and just wanted to give you a little background and reasons why we do that. Two reasons. Well, It's not because we enjoy coming up here so much, but there are a couple reasons. One is that we want the congregation to know who our elders are so that you can come to us with your requests or with any concerns that you have. And that's one reason we come up here. And then the other is so that we can stay in tune with the needs of the congregation. So please feel free to come to elders. You know, let us know what your concerns are, what your prayers are, and we can pray with you, or we can include it in our congregational prayer. And the elders do get together to talk about the needs of the congregation, what prayers there are every Sunday before church. So anyway, let's go to our God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before you today in worship. We praise you for being such a wonderful and great God. We praise you for your love and mercy. Most of all, Lord, we praise you for your grace in sending your Son to die for our sins. We thank you that we come together and worship you and hear your word for our lives. I thank you that we are able to make it here safely today, and I pray that you will keep us safe later as we go back to our homes. We thank you for all the blessings that you give to us. I thank you for this church, Lord. Thank you for all the people here and for the fellowship that we have together. I thank you for the generous and the kind hearts of the people here. Thank you for keeping our mission team safe on their recent trip to Liberia. I pray that they were able to reach many people during this trip. I thank you that they were able to go there and celebrate with the churches that we have supported. Thank you for bringing Pastor Kevin and Brad safely back to us. Pray that you will continue to be with Joseph and Rachel as they continue on their journey. Please be with all the sick and the needy, as we know you can heal any ailments or injuries. Please be with LaVon and with Breslin as they deal with treatments for cancer. Please be with Barb Voss as she is recovering from a broken ankle. Pray that everything heals properly and that she returns to full strength soon. Also be with Carson Vistra, who recently broke his hand. Please give the physicians wisdom as they determine a course of treatment, and I pray that his hand will heal quickly and completely. Please also be with those in our congregation that can't be here today for whatever reason. Please be with them and provide them with your presence wherever they are. Please also be with those that are grieving the loss of loved ones. Please be with Fran DeVries in the loss of her parents and with Stan Ektem in the loss of his sister. Please also be with Darlene's brother Jerry, as it seems that his life here on earth is coming to an end. Give him and his family comfort in this difficult time. I thank you, Lord, for the good meeting that we had with Class of Central Plains yesterday in Pella. Please be with all the churches throughout our classes and our denomination as we serve you in the community, in our communities and throughout the world. We also ask you to be with our country at this time. I pray that you will be with the families that lost loved ones in the recent school shootings. Help our country come back to you and put our trust in you. Help our church to be a light to this country and to the world. Help us to be the hands and feet of Christ to help those in need and to help us spread your word. Please be with us all as we go out into the world this week. Help us to advance your kingdom in all that we do. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Good morning, church family. Everybody, can you hear me? Yeah. I just wanted to remind everybody about the Domino Dodgeball event next week, Sunday. We don't have anybody signed up yet, so please sign up. It's at 4 o'clock. We're going to play dodgeball first, and then we're going to follow with a meatball dinner. So please, and then if you need a nursery attendant, please let us know that as well. You can sign up in the back, or you can email me, or you can even come up to me if you want to and let me know. Secondly, the picture directory. I'm almost finished with it, so I'm very thankful for that. The proof book will be going out this week, So please check your emails. Make sure you check every piece of information over there. Anything wrong, send it back to me or come up to me and let me know. And then hopefully we will get our directory in about 3 weeks after we send our proof book back. So thank you.
Remember, Dodgeball, this is your annual event to throw stuff at me if you've been upset with anything I've said, right? Don't neglect that.
Tau.
Nalu.
Ow. That's about all we've got. So kind of about a one or two, three trick pony. But we did learn some words. And just first of all, I want to say praise to God for a safe trip. All honor and glory to him. Also really so appreciative to this congregation for the support you provided. Your suits were a gigantic hit. Some of the suits were actually on the following day.
The suits were gigantic.
Yeah. It was kind of sizing-wise. Hopefully they got some good tailors there because found the biggest guys. And then as we kind of worked our way down suit-wise, some of the suits were about down to the knee. So, but they were extremely appreciative to get those suits. And it was just an awesome trip. And we're real excited to be able to tell you more about it at a later time. We have a little more time. Definitely God has worked through the people there. And the churches are real. We got to see them, touch them, saw every single one of them over a 12-hour period. And spent a lot of time in worship. If it makes you more holy to worship, spend a lot of time in worship, I should be one of the holiest guys you know. So fortunately, it doesn't work that way. But Kevin does have the ability, in case you're wondering, to deliver an hour-long sermon. And so we got our bonus there. And it was just an awesome trip and very appreciative of all you did to help us get there and your prayers. The travels went great. We lost Joseph and Rachel for about an hour or two in Amsterdam, but we did eventually find them. So, again, thanks for the prayers. They got wheeled off to an area, and we were pretty patient guys, but kind of started wondering after about an hour and a half or so kind of where they were. But we did eventually find them. Great travel there and back. 6-hour delay in Minneapolis last night, but we got back in, and so we're very thankful to be home, and a warm shower is really awesome.
Well, Brad and I were roommates, the whole week, and, we probably know more about each other than what we care to know.
Brad
knows how much I sweat in hot weather. If we could collect all the sweat, it would be, buckets. And I also have found out what that does to my body after just drinking only water. I'll tell him more about that later, or ask me personally, whatever. But our hearts are full. There's so much need there. Our minds and hearts kind of are just exploding. And it's just a lot to absorb. So there's probably some debriefing that we have to do with each other and figure this all out. But, they're so hungry for the word. The pastors are hungry to learn more. There's transportation need, road needs. Not that we can, excavate a road, but they desperately need it. And in the rural area. And the people are just so hospitable and loving. We were treated like kings. And so thank you again for your just great and awesome support and just the opportunity to represent you as a congregation. We were honored, and we give all thanks and praise to God.
And we'll have time in the future for a formal update and maybe Kevin's hour-long sermon.
We have tons of pictures and videos, so that would take
time. Awesome, good. And my last announcement, we do begin our Sunday school class this morning from Summit Ministries on Worldviews. We'll discuss topics like Marxism, Islam, New Age movements, postmodernism, and how those ideas have infiltrated the church and how we think. Everyone's welcome to join us. I have a bunch of books that we'll pass out as we go through this discussion. We'll begin that hopefully here at 10:45. Let's stand for the benediction. From Psalm 72, we read these words and receive them in our parting. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever and ever. May his glory fill the whole earth. Amen.
Set your rule and reign in our hearts again. hasten us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power in us. We seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives, for you're our joy and prize. To see the captive's hearts released, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are your church. We pray, revive this earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation land. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. We pray. Unleash your kingdom's power. Reaching the near and far. Nor force of hell can stop your beauty changing hearts. You made us for much more than this. Awake the kingdom seed in us. Fill us with the strength.